You are Locked On Pacers, your daily Indiana Pacers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome in to the Locked On Pacers podcast. My name is Adam Friedman. As always, I'm a staff writer at IndyCornrows.com and the co-host of the Locked On Pacers podcast. On this Monday edition, you're just getting me. Tony East is out for today's show. Tony will be back on Tuesday. We'll be doing our weekly show, recording it Monday evening for Tuesday as the Pacers finish up their season Tuesday evening against the Charlotte Hornets, and we look forward to a nice little playoff run. I'm feeling a little under the weather right now. You can probably hear it in my voice. I'm a little stuffy. Maybe not. Maybe you can't hear it, but I'm going to spend about 10, 15 minutes reviewing the Hawks game and talking about the Cavs' possible matchup with the Pacers in the first round of the playoffs. And that's going to be it and wrap up. And again, like always, you can hear our weekly show this time on Tuesday. We'll go probably an hour, hour and a half talking all things Pacers. And then later this week, Locked On Pacers podcast, we'll have a special guest on our Thursday show. We'll probably have a mailbag Friday, so make sure to send your questions to at Locked On Pacers, at FriedmanAdam5, and at TeastNBA. Honestly, I don't want to spend more than 15 seconds on this Hornets game because it's about as meaningless as a game can come. Pacers win 123-117. Behind really the duo threat of Victor Oladipo, who shot 12 of 15, and Domantas Sabonis, who had his best game of probably his career, 13 of 21 for 30 points. Not any huge takeaways from this game. Stevenson almost had a triple-double, didn't get it. Was pretty miserable from three all day. Like I said, this game really meaningless. Hornets are in tank mode. Pacers are probably in more like playoff mode. Like I said, I don't really want to worry too much about this game. I really want to move into a huge conversation about the Pacers' possible matchup against the first-round matchup against the Cleveland Cavaliers and what that could mean, what it could look like, and things like that. So, last Friday, Philadelphia beat Cleveland, I believe, they won by 1 or 2 points. I'm trying to remember the score on top of my head. I cannot remember. Look it up real quick. But, basically, Cleveland's up a huge amount of points. Then the Cavs came storming back, and then LeBron actually had a chance to hit three free throws to tie the game and only hit one of three. He missed the second one, purposely missed the third one. They lost 132-130 to the 76ers. That basically set up Cleveland to be the 4 seed and Philly to be the 3 seed. The only way it does not happen is if Cleveland wins out and Philly loses out. Philly plays Atlanta, I believe, on Monday, or Tuesday, and that should be a cakewalk for the Sixers, who have now, I believe they're at 13 in a row now. I looked it up also. But basically, Pacers are going to draw Cleveland in the first round of the playoffs for the second year in a row. And it's 14 over Philly, by the way. For the second year in a row, they're going to draw Cleveland in the first round of the playoffs. And what, of course, that means that they're going to draw LeBron James, the probably best player to ever play in the Eastern Conference. He's won the most Eastern Conference championships, I guess the way you want to put it. He's been to now 7 straight NBA Finals, 8 in his career, all in the East. He'll probably get his 8th in a row this year, but maybe not. That's kind of what I want to talk about is, you know, eventually, these runs end. These great teams, these dynasties, whatever you want to call it, and I would say Cleveland or just LeBron James in general, run in the Eastern Conference is a dynastic run. You know, he's, like I said, he's won 7 straight Eastern Conference titles. If that doesn't really mean much, but he's won this conference 7 times. And they all come to end. They all come to an end at a moment when you don't, almost when you least expect it. I mean, you rarely get the Michael Jordan type moment where you get to leave in the sunset. Most of the time, these dynasties end when you least expect it. A great example, really, of recent history is the Lakers and Kobe Bryant. They went to 3 straight NBA Finals. They're looking to three-peat. They had always three-peat in the Phil Jackson era. Phil Jackson never won 3 titles in a row, ironically, and they lost to Dallas Mavericks in the second round of the playoffs that year. And, you know, that was not, like, completely unexpected, but it wasn't, you know, if you were a betting man, you would have bet the Lakers to win that year, and they didn't. Another good example is sort of the run of the Pistons when they finally lost to LeBron James in the 06 playoffs, or the Pistons back in the 89-90 and they lost to Jordan, or Magic's last loss in the finals to Jordan too. I mean, those were just kind of these dynasties sort of just end. And they end when you least expect them. You know, they end in these ways that you don't expect to happen. And that's what the Pacers will try to replicate this year. I mean, the Cavs have been a miserable team all year. They've had basically one really nice run where they won a bunch of games against some really bad teams, and it wasn't like anything special per se, but most of the time it's been a pretty miserable run for Cleveland. They've barely, you know, they've gone through all these up and downs. They gutted their roster right before the All-Star break. And, you know, they've been a good team because they've been LeBron. That's what they've been. You know, I think I'm going to look it up, but I believe they had a nice run. They won 13 in a row, and they had this little midseason where they won a bunch of games. They had lost one of the Pacers, but they won, I believe, 18 of 19 games. I mean, that's a nice run right there. But besides that, it's sort of been up and down. I mean, they had a nice little run in the middle of March. They won 4 or 5 in a row. They won 5 in a row to end out March into April, and they lost to the Sixers. I mean, they're not like a bad team, but they're an inconsistent team. And they really are just LeBron doing things over and over again. When you look at the highest score in all the wins, it's LeBron, 35, 41, 44, 33, 27. I mean, it's LeBron having these triple-double type games. And in the playoffs, he'll probably do that. You know, LeBron, since the trade of where they brought in Larry Nance, Rodney Hood, George Hill, Jordan Clarkson, those four guys to sort of replace out, you know, Isaiah Thomas and crew, I guess you want to call it, LeBron James was averaging 30 points on 21 shots per game. LeBron is literally having one of the best seasons of his career at this very moment, but there isn't much surrounding him. The staple of LeBron teams in the past was LeBron, one or two superstars, whether it was D-Wade or Kyrie, Bosh, Love, and then a bunch of veteran guys who you could rely on the playoffs. The Mike Millers, the James Jones, I mean, even JR a little bit in the past. I mean, I'm trying to think who else. Then it was like maybe some of these young guys that kind of molded, like the Mario Chalmers and Tristan Thompsons. But now it's sort of like he's got a team of just mismatched guys. I mean, he's got Kevin Love, who, yeah, when he's at his best, is a superstar. But I'm not sure he's been at a superstar level for a while. I mean, he's finally getting the shot attempts he should, but he's only putting up, you know, 15 points per game. I know it's, I mean, you can't like just scoff at 15 points a game, but Kevin Love is, it's always doing. But then you look at like the next best guys on this team are Jordan Clark, Jeff Green, Rodney Hood, George Hill, Larry Nance. Those are like the next five guys I really rely on are those five guys. And, you know, a staple of Jeff Green's career has been, is he really, you know, if he's your best player, if he's playing your best, you're really kind of screwed. You know, maybe with LeBron, like, you know, the thing is all these players are about three levels better than they would be without LeBron. I mean, LeBron just makes everybody better because defense have to collapse him at all times, and he finds open shooters. But there's nobody on this team outside of LeBron that you say, wow, that's the second best player in the series. You know, against the Pacers, you might look at it, LeBron's probably the best player, Oladipo's probably the second best player, and then you're looking at a bunch of kind of guys who are, you know, Love's the third best player, and then you're looking at a bunch of guys who are probably all the same. You know, I'm not sure I would take George Hill over Darren Collison at this moment in his career. I'm not sure I'd take Jordan Clarkson over Thaddeus Young or Bojan. I'm not sure I'd take Jeff Green over Miles Turner. I'm not sure I would take Larry Nance over Turner or Sabonis. It's just sort of like, that's where this is going to be won, really, because ultimately LeBron, let's say, is going to be his 30-point self. Oladipo has to have some kind of great series, but if the fourth through seventh best player are with the Pacers, you know, the fourth or seventh best player are Thaddeus Young, Bojan, Sabonis, Collison, whatever, whoever it is, Lance even. And the Pacers will win this series. You know, there's going to be a huge emphasis on stopping LeBron. And I think making LeBron work for everything is important. You can't just give him easy buckets, but he's going to get his 30. You know, you're going to have to probably gonna throw out the combination of Thaddeus Young and Lance Stephenson at LeBron, and he's probably going to destroy them. He's probably going to put up 30 points a game. But if he has to work his butt off for them, let's say he takes 25 shots a game and he only makes, let's say, 10 of them. You know, if you keep them under 50% field percentage, you can win this series. I really think you can, because there's just not enough talent around him to sort of, like, carry him. And, you know, maybe you get lucky in a game where LeBron struggles, and then you can basically steal a game. There will be opportunities here. Now, the question will be, because they don't have home court advantage, this could kind of go sour fast. You know, they don't win any of the first two games. They could all of a sudden be down 2-0, and then you get the momentum and all this shift. But I don't see this Pacer team as losing one of those first two games, you know. Unlike last year's team where they didn't really have heart, I know it's kind of mean to say, but they didn't really, last year's Pacers team didn't have a fight in them. They sort of like, they meandered all season long. They slogged their way through the first, let's say, 50, 60 games, and they finally were able to make the playoffs and then made a run. PG sort of stepped up, but the team never had a chemistry or a kind of a fight back the way this year's Pacers team has. This year's Pacers team always is fighting back, always trying to, you know, feels like they're underappreciated, undervalued, underlooked, and they're always kind of fighting, and that's what you want. You're playing LeBron. You want a team who sort of feels like we belong there. And this Pacer team, who's, by the way, beat Cleveland three times this season, does believe they belong on the level as Cleveland. Nobody else does. You know, they may not be right, but they at least believe they are because they're young. They're naive in some sense. I mean, this is a team that doesn't have a ton of playoff experience when you look at it. I mean, the most experienced playoff players are probably Thaddeus Young, Darren Collison, and Lance Stephenson. Maybe even Corey Joseph, probably, because he's played with the Spurs. But you're looking at, you know, the leaders of this team, Sabonis. You know, Bowen doesn't have a ton of playoff experience. I mean, even Thad Young, for a leader, doesn't have a ton of playoff experience. And then Turner doesn't have a ton of playoff experience. I mean, the two guys you're going to rely on at the end of games, Oladipo and Turner, don't have a ton of playoff experience. You're looking at Sabonis, obviously having your player, not a ton of playoff experience. But this team has the mentality they believe they are on the same level as the best teams in the Eastern Conference. How naive that might sound, that's going to be a benefit to this team because I don't think they're going to lose one of these first two games in Cleveland if that's what happens, which looks like it's going to happen. If they play one of these first two games in Cleveland, I think they'll pull one out. And then they'll probably pull one or two out at home, and I think the series will go six or seven games. And the question can be, can Indiana get up to a 3-2 lead heading home for game six with a chance to win, and then they might seal it. If not, I think they probably lose in seven. I think the series probably goes six or seven. This team just has too much fight to go down in a sweep. You know, last year's team, I felt, was just looking for an excuse to give up. I mean, you saw it. They went up huge by 25 in that game three, and then they sort of got complacent. If this Pacers team is up 25 in a game, they're not going to blow it. They might blow a little bit of a lead, but McMillan's not going to let this team blow it, and they're not going to blow it. And I think there is some value to McMillan having coached against Ty Lue last year and getting kind of an understanding of how to coach, how to prep his team. He's basically getting to run back the same situation last year, and at least he'll get a second try at it, and he'll probably know what to do better. End of game situations, how to guard LeBron, how to try to beat the Cavs, if they double-team Oladipo, what to do. You know, that's kind of things you learn from playoff experience. McMillan has that from last season, which is, I think, more important than you think, because Ty Lue is not a great coach. It's a LeBron team. It's can McMillan sort of find what he was missing last year? You know, I don't think McMillan's going to let his team, you know, ever lift up on the gas. If they're up 20, he's going to keep his starters out there because he knows at any minute they can blow the game and he wants to win this series. And so he knows that now. Or he knows if, you know, they're going to try to double team the Pacers' best player and they have to have a number two option ready. They have to establish a number two guy in the playoffs. And I hope that'll be Turner. I really do. I think Turner's going to have a huge advantage in this series because they're just, you know, he's going to be getting against Kevin Love. And Kevin Love is... he's bigger than Kevin Love, taller, maybe not bigger, but taller than Kevin Love, and he can beat Kevin Love on defense. 100%. He can try to out-rebound Kevin Love. You know, Kevin Love has this kind of reputation as, in Minnesota, he was a great rebounder, per se, and then he's kind of a soft personality, and, you know, Turner will have to fight for it, but he can probably out-rebound Kevin Love if he has the right mentality, and then it's really whether Victor Oladipo can do some of his magic at the end of games, and we have to remember how unclutch Paul George really is in his career compared to Victor Oladipo, who, you know, has hit some big shots this season. You know, he's made some huge plays at the end of games. I mean, I'm thinking Denver games, San Antonio game, Milwaukee games, or this year Washington. I mean, Oladipo steps up when it matters. Against Cleveland, he's done it this year a couple times. And so the real key is Indiana drawing one of those first two games, winning one of those first two games in the series, getting a 1-1 split, going home, and hoping they can try to sweep at home. LeBron has won a road game in every single NBA series, playoff series he's played in, except for last year's NBA Finals. So think about it, his entire career, LeBron's made the playoffs every year since 2005. He's never lost a first-round series, too. But he's also never not won a game on the road, which is insane. You know, except for last year's finals. But that's insane. And that's the key, is can Indiana sweep all three home games? Because it seems a really good team at home. You know, you get the boost of Lance at home and things like that. But, you know, the Pacers are drawing the Cavs in the first round, and it's... you might be disappointed, but, you know, it's a challenge. And they'll be fun, and the Pacers will be on ESPN, which will be good to see, and it'll be fun, and we'll see if this team can bring it, because they've said all year the team believes they're better than everybody thinks they are, and then get the real challenge. You know, they won't have to, I mean, it'd be great to play Washington in the first round. It'd be great to, honestly, I mean, I'm not sure I want to play Philly seems really good right now, but it'd be great to play Milwaukee maybe in the first round. But, you know, it's the way life is. You get LeBron for second year in a row, but if they can beat the Cavs in the first round, that would completely change the perception of them, and it would be such a boost. Even if the Cavs at seven games, there's just such a boost there. But if they beat the Cavs, the perception of this franchise and the ceiling of this team completely changes. Like I said, that's all I wanted to talk about for this Locked On Pacers podcast. There's a riff on Cavs-Pacers possible first-round matchup. Please listen to our show on Tuesday. It will be a lot better than probably this one was. I am feeling a little under the weather, so I'm just sort of riffing and talking without much stats or anything. But we'll be back on Tuesday with Tony and I for a weekly podcast. You'll probably catch that podcast on Dash Radio as well. Then we have a special guest for Thursday, another pod plan for Wednesday, and then a mailbag for Friday. So make sure to send in your questions to @LockedOnPacers @FreedomAdam5 or @TEastMBA. As always, subscribe to Locked On Pacers Podcast on Twitter, Spotify, iTunes, Stitcher, wherever you get these podcasts. That's all I got for today's Locked On Pacers Podcast. Have a great rest of your day.